Hey friends, welcome back. On this episode, we're continuing our side-by-side app comparison. Alex is going to get whimsical and I'm going to stare into the mirror. We're also drinking a Belgian-style wheat beer called Silicon Wit. It's time to crack a cold one. This is Biz Apps and Beer. Hey everybody, we're back for another episode of Biz Apps and Beer. My name is Ryan Bialik, and along with us on this fantastic journey tonight is Alex Henry. Alex, how are you doing?
I'm doing quite splendid. How are you?
I am all right. It's been a fun week at work and the 9-to-5 kind of thing. It's been a fun week at home. Fall seems to be upon us, but enough about me. You've got some big news over there at the Henry household.
Henry household. Just still working on the house hunting game, so hopefully that'll be resolved soon. It's been a busy week, like doing that. Got work's been crazy busy, lots going on, but having a lot of fun right now with that. With the new podcast format, then we've got a lot of new content that we're working on and some stuff for the classroom. So yeah, that's all just a lot of fun. But it seems like the fall, just every September, energy, everything around us, the entire environment just gets jacked up to 11. Everyone's super busy. There's a lot going on. Everyone needs things right away. The kids are back in school. People are shutting down their cabins, yada, yada, yada. It's such a busy, furious time. So I'm just excited to be able to sit down, chill out, and pop a beer.
Yes, and talk about some apps.
So what are we drinking today, Mr. Ryan?
So today is something fun. I could not resist this one when I saw it at the beer store. It is from the Oxus Brewing Company here in Winnipeg. It's called Silicon Wit. It is a wheat beer, but I just thought, like, the packaging and on the can and the artwork is all digital and it's got robots, and I thought it kind of looked high tech, and I'm like, ah, this is the perfect fitting beer for two guys talking about apps and technology. So what we got right off the can is a refreshing Belgian style wheat beer with moderate sweetness, low bitterness, and aromas of citrus and pepper. It is made using European Pilsen malt, Canadian wheat, and oats. Bitter and sweet orange zest, coriander seeds, and fermented with specialty Belgian yeast to complement its complex profile. Naturally cloudy, may contain sediments. And you know what I saw? I don't know if you noticed this on the can. There's a big QR code there down at the bottom.
Oh, yeah, I just saw that.
And it says brew it yourself. So how cool is that? It's like open source beer. If you really like this thing, you know, you pick it up at your local beer store or liquor commission, whatever, liquor store. If you really like it that much, you can go ahead and make it yourself. That is really cool.
You know what else I noticed on this can? Like, the back has a bunch of binary as a repeating pattern on here.
And I'm, yeah, just, what is it?
I'm not sure. I'll let you know a little later in this episode once I find out.
Do you remember that episode of Futurama and Bender's having like a dream? 00100001.
Yeah, wasn't that a movie?
And then he wakes up. Hey?
Wasn't that a movie? I can't remember. I haven't watched Futurama in so long, but I do know what you're talking about. I think that was like one of the movies. I could be mistaken, yeah, though.
Good times. Anyway, so what's your first impressions on this Belgian?
Well, as you know, I'm a sucker for Belgians, so this was an instant win in my book.
Ah, nice. I'm glad I picked it up.
It's got like a tart aftertaste as you kind of drink it, as you swallow it, but I'm not minding that. Complex, maybe.
Yeah,
there's a lot going on here and I can't quite put my finger on it. I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on the matter at all, of course, but overall I'd say it's nice. I would drink this probably in the summer. Wouldn't be a go-to, but you know, someone pour this for me, I would definitely happily sip away at it.
Right on. I don't taste all of the flavors that I read there in the description, but it's light. It's certainly sessionable and easy to go down. So Let's see how we progress as we get into a couple apps today.
How strong is this one?
5.2.
That's not bad. I appreciate that. I think, was it last episode, you and I were kind of talking about, like, looking at beers with lower alcohol contents. Like, there's not a lot of craft beers out there that are below, let's say, 6%, I'd say, on average.
Yeah.
I usually see, what, in the 7 to 8 range for a lot of craft beers, but something 5.2, that's pretty good. I could drink. This would, like, make it an easy return buy for me just because I would appreciate that.
Well, that's the thing I find about crafts especially is I have one and I'm done. Most times. Like, something like Cosmos from Sucrums, it's so light that it's light tasting that I think I could have a couple, three in a row, you know. This one I probably could have two in a row in that sessionable style. But some of the other beers that we've reviewed in past episodes were a little on the stronger side, and it's, you know, you have one and then, okay, I want something else.
Yeah, that's just it. I'm usually like two beers if I'm like, you know, it's a weekend, I'm having a good time. Mm-hmm. Two, three beers, but like, because after a while it just kind of starts filling me up and then I start getting bloaty and it's not my thing. So I'm also not 17 anymore, so give me a break. I mean 18 legal, right? Yes, 18. So yeah, usually after like one or two I just start kind of feeling it, but like on a weekday where I might have eaten dinner by the time I record, I'm usually feeling like that beer by the end of the podcast. It's kind of wild.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's old age or the beer, but I'm going to blame it on the beer like usual. It's been working for me so far.
Yes.
What are we pairing this beer with? What app are we pairing it with today?
Let me be very delicate here about our segue into the apps. We've got a wheat beer to talk about whiteboards.
Ooh.
Yeah? Maybe? Kind of a stretch. Wheat beer, whiteboards.
Why are you pronouncing it like that?
Cool whip? I don't know. So I thought it would be interesting to do again our take on both of us bringing to the table, like a mind mapping or whiteboarding piece of software. And I know that you're going to talk about Whimsical. I know you've shown that to me in the past. You've used it for some stuff that we work on together.
Hey, spoilers.
Hey. But why don't you kick it off? I know you got a big thing for Whimsical. You really enjoy that app.
Yeah. So okay, I've been using Whimsical since I'm gonna say 2018. Honestly, I'm not really sure. It's been a long time. I found it on Product Hunt. I was just kind of browsing around there one day, and I think they were a featured app, and they happened to be a mind mapping app I was looking for. So I said, hell, I'm not paying for Vizio, let's try it out. And their big sell was that you can do really quick, intuitive mind maps. Just start doing it with your team, by yourself, whatever. You can just get in and go, no problems. And as a product, they definitely deliver with some like fine prints there. So I'm not sure how old this app is, to be honest. It's been around for at least 5 years, maybe a bit longer than that, since I started using it at least. But I definitely got in there when they were just doing mind maps. So that's, you get a blank canvas and then you get some shapes, a ton of icons you can search through, you can add your own images, and you just go. So, and it ends up being this really intuitive interface that allows you to quickly just jot down processes, write down anything you want. And then they slowly started expanding the product line after that with what they could offer. So they started off with just the mind map, like I mentioned before, but now they've expanded out to wireframes, sticky notes. So sticky note, you can make them into Kanban lists or reorder the list into kind of whatever shape you want. But it's basically just sticky notes that you can comment on, kind of like in Trello or anything like that. They've added mind maps, and now they also have some templates too. So these were all kind of promised from day one, which really kind of got me locked in. So I went, okay, you know what? I'm going to sign up. I'm going to use it for a while, see what I like. And I used it for a couple of years. And I didn't really realize it, but just like how much I really leaned on that type of thinking. So a guy like me, I tend to just need a quick way to jot my ideas down before I forget them. Either writing them on paper, writing them in a digital notebook, or mind mapping a process. So if I have a hard time kind of getting my head around how something works, I need to mind map it. I need to do a flow chart. So I signed up because I wanted a mind mapping app, which happened to be the last thing they actually released. And I don't remember exactly when the mind map came out. It might have been a year or two ago. So roughly 2 or 3 years after I signed up for the product, they released it, and it was basically everything I wanted. So I got 4 products in 1 or 3 features in 1, and it's one of those apps that does one thing and it does them well. And they've actually just matured the product enough where you can actually start mixing and matching them. So on the same canvas, you can have flowcharts, wireframes, your sticky notes, mind maps all together. And you know how much I love commenting.
Yes.
You can comment on everything. You can write down text on anything. It's quite lovely in that regard. So you could actually use it as a place where you do a lot of work. So if you don't have like something like Trello or Asana or anything like that, you could literally build your own Kanban board inside of a canvas and just share it out with your team.
And it's very, very visually rich. I guess that's kind of the key. Last episode, we talked about note-taking apps, and we talked about Evernote and OneNote, and sort of where they really shine is text, you know, blocks of text.
Yes.
This is blocks of...
This is just shapes.
Shapes.
This is shapes and frames and lines to connect them. Mm-hmm. So this is its strength, and it's also its greatest weakness. Because since day one, while you're making little shapes and making your your flow charts or whatever, the lines can go just a wee bit wonky. And by wonky, I mean they can basically do loops around your shapes as it's trying to figure out where you're trying to connect it to. So what I've learned is when it starts doing that, just delete the line and start it over again. There's like little things that might make you go, hang on, what's going on with this app? Why is it so weird? Once you get the feel for it, once you spend enough time with it, it should be intuitive. It should be second nature. And the reason I can say that for sure is because like last year when I said, you know what, I'm going to try Visio right now, and got the license for it, and it felt so off. Going into Visio, whether it's the desktop app or the web app, it didn't matter. It just felt wrong. And I went back to Whimsical instantly. So yeah. I actually paid for this out of my own pocket. I've been subscribing for at least 2 years now for the full product, because they're a small company and I like a lot of what they kind of do. So they're not the type of startup and software company that's trying to basically sell it to the next venture capitalist out there. They're actually, they've put out their own mandate, their own... you had a word for this. And I feel like it started with an M. It's just totally slipping my mind right now.
Manifesto?
Yeah. I think they have their own manifesto, which basically says, we're going to own this product. This is our baby. We're not selling it off. We want you, when you subscribe, you're supporting us to make this app even better. Okay. And that's kind of the spirit I kind of want to support when I look at these apps. There's so many of these web apps that we look at, that we follow, that we check out, but a lot of them seem to be going through this, they're getting pumped through this giant machine of hey, look, let's make a quick product so we can sell it out to Google as quickly as possible and make a buck and get out.
Yeah.
And
yeah, they feel corporate, you know?
Exactly. They're not designed to be long-term products where the owners and the founders stick around. They just want to cash out and move on with their lives. I don't blame people for doing that, because you're going to put a lot of work into trying to build something like this. But if you're not planning on sticking around, then I have no interest personally in looking at your product. I'm sorry, or paying for it. If you as the owner, you're going to found a product, stick with it. Stick with it. And then you can talk about money. Because if you're just looking for a payday to cut and run, then I'm going to cut and run faster.
Yeah, I mean, as a business user, I always think about it's such a tacky word these days, but the fundamentals of the organization or the group of people that put this thing together. Do they appear to be the kind of people that are going to cut and run? Are they even sort of front and center about why they've taken on the project or why they're making their particular product or service? So, and anything that you're going to put data into, whether it's personal, a consumer service, or whether it's professional, something for your business, you always got to think, are these guys going to be around in a year or two or three? And is my data going to be stuck? Is it going to be gone tomorrow when they go bankrupt? You know, are they going to get consumed by some big entity like Google or whatever? So I always, it's always a win when you find someone that has got the balls to sort of stand up to that. Again, kind of manifesto is a bit of a prickly word, but
I found the
you know,
blog post and they actually kind of put it under their philosophy on their main page or in their blog. So the
like a
TL,
mission. Mission
yeah,
is maybe a better word than manifesto.
exactly.
Yeah.
So all the employees are part owners, which is pretty cool, and they're just kind of in it to make a cool product at the end of it, by the sounds of it. And it's a charming little product, honestly. It really is. It's colorful, it's lightning fast. It's easy to share stuff with you. So I know you don't use it, but if you need to look in my board or if I need to copy a section of it and paste it so you can look at what I've made and make heads or tails of it, that's so easy to do. It's not even a second thought for me. It's one of the most intuitive apps I've used in a long time.
Okay, so I got two questions for you. Two questions. One is there something in a paid plan that you just don't get in a free plan that maybe influenced you to go to the paid plan?
So let me just hit the pricing really quickly here, and as this is going to take like 4 seconds. You get the free starter plan up to four boards, and then after that you pay $10 monthly for the year, and then you get unlimited boards, or you pay $12 month to month for unlimited boards, and that's the
Okay.
entire thing.
That's the only two triggers, is that's the only difference.
Unlimited boards versus four.
Wow.
Now, I could technically survive off four, because I have probably 1,000 different like junk boards I've made in here.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
just a monster, and
Because that canvas is infinite, right?
it's an
Or
infinite
it's in
canvas, exactly.
Okay.
And I've got folders on top of folders in here. It's interesting, but it's such a nice little product. Like I basically use it every day, honestly. So mind mapping, sticky notes for Kanbans or just taking notes. You get wireframes if you're designing anything. You can it's got plugins for icons. So if you're designing a website, you can plug quick icons in there, which is really good. Workflows, obviously, the flow charts are like the founding feature in it, and comments galore. There are no real third-party plugins from the best I can tell. So you're not going to connect this to your Google Drive. Now, I might be wrong about that because I haven't looked in a long time. But as best as I know, there's no real third-party plugins, honestly. It's
Okay.
just whimsical, and that's what they focus on.
But when you share charts or workflows from your whimsical to me, let's say in the day job kind of thing, you just do a screenshot and you paste that into Teams, for example, right?
Mostly, but I could actually just send you a shareable link that you could
Right.
use to view the board. You won't be able
Okay.
to edit it, but I can create public links, and
Okay.
it's
And how about exporting like a PDF or a JPEG of the thing?
yep. So you can export. I think it downloads as a PDF, or sorry, a PNG. So
Okay.
you can choose to include or exclude the background. And you can embed it onto other pages or just print it with your normal print settings if you want to. So that's always there.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's nice because your whatever you put into this thing is not going to be stranded in some stupid proprietary format that you can't at least take a screenshot and rebuild it somewhere else. You're not
Exactly.
stuck.
Yeah. I
And
thought.
that's always my worry about Visio is it's a very proprietary file format that if you have a Visio diagram, it's a Visio diagram and that's it.
Yeah, no kidding, eh? Now, I wish you could do things like floor plans in here, which would be kind of nice, but you could workshop that, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. So you've got enough shapes and deep, different tools. Yeah.
That's such a deep rabbit hole with floor plans and even things like network diagrams, having all of the different icons for some of the different universal icons for different tech bits and bops, you know?
Yeah, that's actually a good point. So that might come in the future, but I doubt that's kind of something they're really looking into at this time, okay. If I was to take a guess. Last little plug for this, and then I'll let you take the reins, is their customer support.
Okay.
And it's A+, short and sweet. You get a little chat or a little question bar in the bottom right hand corner that floats there, and then it opens up a chat, or you can go directly to the community. So if you contact them, I can't remember what plugin they use for it. It runs on Intercom. So okay. It uses Intercom. You get access to one of their staff members who's usually really quick and helpful and really polite. So anytime I have something's going wrong, they've always been able to help me out. And not always, I think they're in the UK. I think they're stationed in the UK. I'm not 100% sure on that, but the idea, like, sometimes they don't get back to you right away because I think there's some time zone differences, but leave a message and they'll always get back to you. So yeah, overall, definitely give them a checkout. Four free boards with the free plan. It's worth giving them a look.
Cool.
Yeah.
Mobile app, any experience there?
No mobile app.
No mobile app.
Okay. No mobile app.
And I don't know if that's a killer. I mean, the app that I'm going to talk about shortly does, but, you know, I was sort of noodling around with the Android app for it. And yeah, I could see you may want to view a process when you're on the go. I think tablet obviously is the ideal form factor for something like this.
You know,
especially if you've got pen input or a stylus and you can draw.
I thought so, but I find it's not actually really designed for a touch interface. So if I'm just using this on my touch screen right now, mm-hmm. It can work. You can't draw on it, doesn't have pen support. So it's not really what it's there for. It's really designed for your best use case, I find, is a touchpad, a good touchpad, and on a laptop, and then you're laughing. Okay. I don't even like really using a mouse with it. The touchpad seems to be like the most intuitive way of using this app.
Okay. So give me like a quick scenario. When would you pick this thing up and use it? Like if I brought a particular problem to you, or I brought a rant to you, or I was a customer and I gave you something, where would you run to Whimsical versus, say, putting a smart, what do they call it in Microsoft land? What, SmartArt?
Oh, I would use Whimsical.
Not so SmartArt?
Yeah, not so SmartArt. Oh, that's always a chore to use. I use Whimsical when I need to either communicate my own thoughts and processes to someone and like illustrate it, or if I need to illustrate someone else's process to make sure I understand it. So I'll write it out and then show it to them so they can kind of give me the yay or nay on it. So it's like little quick hitters like that, because why not? I've got unlimited boards. I'll just go nuts. And it kind of gives me the time, if I really have time, to kind of fester and play with it. So if I really need to flush out a process, I will really get into the flow charting and the mind mapping, because it just lets me quickly put my thoughts down on something. And this is like a great place to just start it, dump it, come back to it later if I need to.
Ready to turn the table?
Oh, are you gonna Miro? Is it Miro time? Miro?
Miro.
Miro?
Miro time. So this one I cannot believe has flown under my radar for as long as it has. And here's my guilty admission. I don't do a ton of mind mapping, and maybe that's bad. Maybe I've been going about this wrong for the last 30 some odd years.
It's addictive, dude.
I'm sure you've seen the paper notebook that I carry around, you know, day to day. There's lots of sketches and shit going on in there. I guess I just never turn that into digital in most cases. I'm I'm a big believer of bulleted and numbered lists, and so maybe that's where I get a little bit more text-centric. But I've been playing around with this Miro app, and again, I can't believe this thing has not come to my attention, because let me put my Microsoft guy hat on. And I can see everybody's eyes are rolling. Here he goes, Microsoft guy. This thing actually has a lot of love for Microsoft apps, which, you know, in typical SaaS fashion is not the mainstream. So a lot of the plugins, a lot of the integrations with Teams and OneDrive, some of the investors here of Miro are senior corporate vice presidents at Microsoft. So they're on their advisory boards. Stephen Curry of the Golden State Warriors is an investor.
Oh, neat.
How wild is that? So Miro, MIRO.com.
I wonder if he knows he's an investor, or if he just kind of got like thrown in there. He's like, hey, by the way, you signed this document, so you technically own stock in this product. He's like, what's that? Yeah. They're like, don't worry about it. Just like, we're going to put your name on the website. It's fine. They're like, he's like, cool.
He gave a good tip to a waitress somewhere, and now he's an investor. No, who knows? There's VPs from Google. There's Minecraft folks. There's Atlassian people on here. There's Reich people on here. SurveyMonkey Malwarebytes people on here. So it's kind of an interesting petri dish of disciplines. But all of that aside, this is a really cool mind mapping app that's going on here. And what I love about it is that it's not just mind mapping and wireframing. It's not just Kanban and sticky notes and all those things. They've got this gigantic template ecosystem. There's canvases for teams. There's canvases for custom question boards. There's UX. There's project canvases. There's remote work. There's something called a monster workshop, which I guess is maybe something for education and teaching through illustration. And there's all your quadrant type charts and graphs, and again, all the mind mapping stuff where you can illustrate how something connects to something else. And I was kind of fiddling around with that. There's shapes, there's sticky notes, there's all the arrows and bits and bobs that connect those kinds of things. But again, it was really pleasant to get into a big, gigantic blank canvas and bring all these different kinds of templates all up. And there's some really neat stuff around presentation mode. They've got built-in chat and commenting. If you want to have a video chat, that's actually built into this platform as well. A timer so that your team has a specific amount of time to focus on something.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe you have a time limit to get ideas out. Okay, we'll take the first 5 minutes of good ideas for this particular thing.
This is starting to sound like, if you don't mind, this is starting to sound like the Silicon Valley of like living hell.
But there's voting. There's something which they're really high on called presenter focus. So if someone is explaining to you a particular workflow or one of their graphical charts here, their cursor on your end, so what you see, will be this gigantic, big, bright cursor. And again, it's meant to be a visual cue. So if I'm showing you a workflow that maybe gets a little bit hairy, scary, it's again very easy for you to follow along on the other end of the line. But I mean, just playing around with this thing, I had lots of fun scrolling in, scrolling out, bringing in all their different templates. There's tons of templates that are from Miro. There's tons of templates again in sort of this open source community of templates. They seem to have a thing for agile, team retrospectives, sprints, all those types of things. What's something that we think of? SWOT analysis, right? They've got things for that. They've got taxonomies. They've got character compositions for writers and for animators and storyboards. There's so many cool templates here, and they're all ready to go.
This thing is jam-packed. Holy.
I know. And I'll get to pricing in just a second, but this thing is such a huge thing. I thought, oh, I'm just going to get in here and be able to do some mind mapping and take some take some ideas and connect them with arrows, and I'll be on my way. But there's a desktop app for both Windows and Mac. There's mobile apps for iOS, Android, and for Microsoft. And again, here's some of that Microsoft love that reaches into to my the cockles of my heart, is they've even got a Surface Hub app. So if you're one of those folks that paid way too much for a Surface Hub, and you got one of those suckers in your boardroom, you can actually bring the Miro app onto that and do some mind mapping, do some illustration using the Surface Hub pen on that gigantic display in the collaborative sense. And the pricing here on the Miro side of the table is actually pretty close to what you sort of mentioned on the Whimsical side. You only get three boards. And again, there's those big blank canvases where you can bring many different types of templates and mind maps and whatever else, illustrations into those boards. You can have anonymous board viewers, so only I can edit it, but I could share it with a team and customers and vendors and those types of things. The core integrations to Slack, Teams, Trello, Zapier, Google Drive, Microsoft OneDrive, Dropbox, Box, Adobe Creative Cloud, Sketch, Unsplash, and more. That's all included in the free plan. And again, that bit where I was telling you where it allows collaborators to follow a particular area on a board, mm-hmm. that's what they call attention management. And so that's included in the free plan.
Oh,
now there's the next plan up is their team plan. So I guess a little bit more geared towards collaboration of small teams. $8 a month if you commit to a year, $10 if you just go month to month per user. Unlimited boards, private boards, unlimited anonymous editors if you want, so not just viewers. You can have external viewers and commenters. Advanced attention management, which means click a bunch of times and it'll really draw attention to what you're showing. You can have multiple boards assigned to a project. High-res exports, Kanban, Jira and Confluence, Asana integration, and then the remote meetings bit with the video chat, the timer, and the voting. That is, again, once you hit the first paid tier of $8 a month. And then once, you know, beyond that, they have a business and an enterprise plan. Really, the only things there are things that you would expect from IT teams, like single sign-on, connections with Azure DevOps. If you're running, you know, if you're running a team of programmers, and if you're standing up a network operations center, and those kinds of wicked awesome things. But for the most part, the two bottom plans, free and the first paid one, there's a lot of stuff going on here.
There is. You took the words right out of my mouth. There is a lot of stuff happening here. But just kind of like playing around with it, it's kind of cool.
And wait, you're on my board and you're sketching stuff and I'm following. We could play tag on here. Oh, I'm on your cursor. Oh, no, you just moved. Now I'm on your cursor again. Like, we're playing virtual tag. But you can see now that okay, you've sketched something in. I've got some sketches here. I was playing the smiley face that I drew. I drew that on my phone, for example. So very natural to use your finger to draw on your phone. If you have a device with a stylus, certainly you're going to feel right at home here.
Do you draw with your like fingers a lot when you use phones? I find like
I do.
I have like fat, clumsy fingers, and It makes touchscreens a little weird sometimes, especially like. Since I got my iPhone, like, I can't press, like, I don't know. I always, like, think I'm pressing a button, but I'm really pressing the one above or below it.
I'm considering a Galaxy Note for my next phone.
Getting something bigger? I need a bigger device, too. Like, that's my thing. This is totally off topic. My last phone was, like, it was, like, just under 6 inches, like a 5.9er, and it was the Z Play, and I loved the size of that phone. And then I switched to iPhone. I got the iPhone 8. It's so much smaller, and I don't like it. I regret. Okay. I regret not getting the big one. But it is what it is.
I'm not so much worried about the screen size. I just that having a stylus and then having a garage for it, being able to park your stylus inside the phone. I think that's cool.
Oh, that's true too. I've never had a stylus for a phone, and
I have, and this will take you way back. It was a Palm Trio.
A Palm Trio. I never had a Palm Pilot or any of the Palm products, really.
This was 2005, 2006. I had this, and I made the mistake of getting the Palm OS and not the, well, that would have been Windows Mobile at the time. But it had a stylus, and it had the capacitive screen, and about the only good thing you could do with a Palm Trio was play a couple of games before they crashed. If you got an email, a phone call, and you were trying to do something on the Palm Trio at the same time, the phone would just explode in your pocket.
Oh, rough.
But for an app like this, something like the Samsung Galaxy Note, whatever the hell it's called, perfect, because you can sketch something in. But for me, the killer app here with Miro on mobile was something that they call Sticky Note Capture. And so I downloaded the app on Android, and they have this Sticky Note Capture where you take a picture of anything. It doesn't need to be a sticky note. It can be a poster on a wall, or it can be, I took a picture of a cover of a book, and it turned the text, it recognized the text from the cover of the book, and it turned it into a sticky note.
Oh, deep.
Yeah, and it was really quick. And so it said, okay, we'll use your camera, or we'll use any image you've got saved in your photo carousel, and boom.
So is that a separate app owned by Miro, or is that like a third-party app that's integrated with Miro?
No, that was the Miro app.
Oh, it's the Miro app. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I just took a picture of a cover of a book, and it turned it into a sticky note. And then once it's in the app, you can sort of drag it around the canvas. And ideally, I guess you could make a Kanban board of a bunch of sticky notes. Even if you just wanted to turn a bunch of stuff jotted down on a whiteboard into this digital format, so then you could start wireframing and drawing lines and connections between things. To me, that was a really cool feature.
That's wild.
Yeah, and just moving all the shapes around, the lines are sort of, the connector lines are a little bit elastic. They come with a nice little curve by default. You can group shapes and you can ungroup shapes and move them around. The drawings that you make by pen input or using your finger, using your natural stylus, you can group those shapes together. You can move them all as one, or you can move each individual pen stroke. I was having a lot of fun with this thing. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, this thing's really got, this is like the battleship of like whiteboard apps or mind mapping apps. I think these are more mind mapping apps than whiteboard apps, honestly, that we just did today.
I think whiteboarding is probably a pretty loose description of what this thing does.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many shapes out of the box. There's so many configurable templates out of the box. When we think of something like Microsoft Whiteboard, right?
It's a whiteboard.
Day job hat. They've got some things like sticky notes, and they let you move things into different areas, but it lacks the templates. It lacks the connecting ideas. It relies on you as a good drawer. Whereas this, there's a template. You click into the text, you change the text, you've got a diagram. You want to make a brilliant diagram of all the network switches on your LAN and your routers and your firewalls. Boom, 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 boom. Click, click, click. Done. Export that sucker and move on with your day.
Yeah, no kidding. And the fact that this works on like giant screens, like I had mentioned before, like a Surface Hub or another touchscreen device that could run a browser, that's huge. That's really important. Yeah.
Like we're fiddling with this thing right now. Did you see I made the giant sticky note there?
That's a big old sticky note you made there.
Like I just, you know, threw that in really quick, but you have different colors you can do with your sticky notes. You can format the text if you want. It's a rich text editor in there. There's keyboard shortcuts built into all this too, so those folks that like to save a few clicks and want to keep their fingers on the keyboard, just hit N. Just hit the N key and okay, now I've got a red. I see you just made a comment on my sticky note.
Yeah, what are you going to do about it?
I'm going to emoticon crying laughing guy about it.
That's adorable.
But again, if you have a team that needs to get some shit done, everybody's working remotely, you can't all go huddle around a whiteboard. Sure, you can draw some stuff on here, but the templates for me is what really put it over the top. This Miroverse is what it's called. Again, there's a Scrum puzzle, there's a service blueprint, there's a customer journey, so timelines. It's a pain in the royal friggin' ass to make a good looking time frame, time flow, timeline.
Timeline?
Unless you, yeah, what, yeah, you know what I mean. It's a pain in the arse to make one of those, especially in something like Excel. If you're not graphically inclined, which most people are not, it's a pain in the arse to represent time in a timeline.
Absolutely. You've
got templates for that. If you've got any kind of analysis, magic quadrant crap, this is the tool to put it all together.
So when do you think you would use, does this app make you want to start using mind maps or any of these whiteboard graphic tools to kind of put down ideas? Does this kind of inspire you at all?
I could see this being used, and they have an integration with Microsoft Teams. I'm going to explore this a little bit. For the times when we just have a stupid off the wall idea and we don't want to write it down somewhere, we just want to put it out there and see what people think. Literally, the same kind of thing of taking something and writing on a sticky note, and I don't need to remember this right away. I don't need to put a date on it. It's not that important, but I just need to write something down really quick or sketch something really quick and then forget about it for a while. It's in my someday maybe pile. For me, a team could have a someday maybe board where, casually you sketch some shit and you put it all together, and whenever you get around to it, it's not a huge priority. It's not, earth-shattering, deal-breaking stuff. And have some fun around it. I think it could be a good tool for that.
Yeah, I really like these for just being able to flush out ideas. And you can tell this is really designed for very diverse groups of developers, UX developers, designers, basically anyone that's trying to scrum a product together in a short amount of time. You need a place to capture every single idea, every single bit of information, thought, concept, process in one place. And I've never got to use, I've been in a lot of Kaizen projects, I've been in a lot of Scrum type environments. They're a lot of fun, they're a lot of stress, but we've never ever gotten to use a tool like these, like Miro, like Whimsical, and it's such a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
And some could argue if you have the right tools, you might not need something like this. But when you're trying to get things in one place, you're trying to capture a lot of ideas, maybe it doesn't make sense to bring around a box of sticky notes everywhere you go. Maybe you just need the digital whiteboard. We should have this open in a lot of our meetings.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in pandemic, people are working remotely and they're not going to have access to a 4-foot by 8-foot piece of whiteboard material screwed to a boardroom wall somewhere. This is the next best thing. And it's all digital from the get-go. There's no taking a picture. There's no, Johnny the caretaker came in at 5:30 and wiped the damn thing down. We're supposed to leave that for tomorrow, Johnny.
Yeah, I know.
You don't have to worry about that.
Especially if you have a nice big TV in your boardroom that you're meeting in on a regular basis, this is where these really shine, because you actually have the space to put it all up there.
I wonder what percent of people on a team, I bet there's studies out there, and I should have looked into it. I wonder what percent of people are more just visual people, where they will just excel in a team that has something like this, that has a tool like this, where they can get their idea out graphically instead of having to explain it, in a gigantic run-on sentence or an email that takes 50 pages to print off or something like that. You know what I mean? There's two kinds of people that are very good about getting an idea down in words and coherent sentences, And then there's some people that just say, oh, just give me a second, I gotta find a piece of blank paper, and they'll sketch out the most cohesive, brilliant thing of your day.
You'd be surprised how many people are more visual thinkers, even if they don't even know they are. Let people just draw out their idea, even if it sucks. It'll help. It'll either help your attention, their attention, or at least help bridge the gap of idea to, or just articulating your idea, really.
Yeah.
That's why I'm always trying to like embrace drawing every day, just like a little bit, sketching out an idea, drawing out a mind map before I put it into whimsical or whatever, because that pen to paper, being able to do that, whether it's digital or on a big whiteboard, doesn't matter, it really makes a difference. And having something like this, where you're in a this being digital and these tools being digital, just it's more of a convenience, because you can mix and match so many different elements on a page to the point where you're board might be exploding with content and might not run on a machine that only has 8 gigabytes of RAM, because I imagine this thing's going to get pretty resource intensive after a while. But there's such a nice benefit to these. There's such a nice benefit to be able to draw it out, to capture your idea in the way that makes sense to you, so it can then at least be translated however it needs to for your production and environment. So if I have a thought of how a process works, I'll map it out really quickly on a piece of paper, I'll put it into a flow using Whimsical, and then I start communicating it out. But and then I'm constantly tweaking it, because even when I think I have the process down, there's always like little things I need to do. So that's why I like having these digital ones, because I can quickly move things around and modify them and revise them as I need to. Unlike something on paper. So that's how my brain works a lot of these times, and that's why I really like these tools, and why I want to see more of them kind of develop. Like, I, you know, you brought up Microsoft Whiteboard a few minutes ago, and I probably give that app a chance every month, and it's always getting a little better. A couple of times a year it makes a couple of strides in progress, and it's always becoming a nicer app. But it's still got some hangups, which keep me from coming back.
Well, even OneNote is got a pretty solid inking, straight up inking capabilities. It's pretty solid there, but it doesn't have these templates and mixed media. Sure, you can bring in a picture, or you can bring in a document that exists already. You can bring that into OneNote, and then you can annotate. Great, but all these different connections and templates and smooth, sexy curved lines, you know, grids, quadrants, analysis, storyboards, timelines, that's all here. And I think that's lacking on anything, on at least on the Microsoft side. And you give Visio to the mere mortal, they're gonna punch you in the face and say no thanks.
Honestly, it's a bit of like, the web app's gotten a little better, but every time I go back to it, I'm like, why does this feel harder than it needs to be? And this is not my first time using Visio. I used it for years, and not on a regular basis, but I used it and I know it. But I just don't really enjoy it. I like using Whiteboard more than Visio. So that's why I'm always kind of, every time I come back to Whiteboard, I'm like, does it have mind mapping yet? Does it have workflows yet? Can Visio go like, biting my tongue, but you know what I mean. I want those features in Whiteboard where they belong, like an app like this.
Yeah. Well, Visio is such a specific use case. I think that the people that know how to use it consider it a very, very powerful. This is like Project, right? Not really meant for mere mortals yet, but those that are in it all the time, and they get so much work done. I think that's the same with Visio or something like Visual Studio, right? If you're a coder, you're in there. If you're a network diagrammer, if you're doing, you know, layouts of buildings and things like that, yeah, you're probably in Visio a lot more than a mere mortal. But this, both of the apps that we've shown today, both Whimsical and Miro, I would say most mere mortal average users can pick this up and have some fun.
Miro seems to have, and this is just my opinion, a bit of a learning curve, just because there's so much here, and I wouldn't even know where to start. And you know what? I've got 13 seconds of patience for the little pop-ups that try and give me a little tutorial.
Yeah.
Like, no, don't do that. Just don't. I'll come to you. Thank you.
The mobile app is nice, though. It kind of gives you some of those prompts, like you say, but super easy to get into your board and just scroll around and take a peek. Maybe you're on the go and you need to check something. Again, I find some value to that.
Mm-hmm. All right, Ryan, I've hit the bottom of my can. How about you?
Me too. Yep. Good show. Again, I think we found a couple of things here that are sort of made me curious about using this format, about getting out of text only and getting more into drawing in the digital realm. I'm pretty pumped up with this Miro find.
I have not heard of this either, so I'm glad you brought it up, because I might actually check this one out again. I'm not planning on leaving Whimsical anytime soon, but this one's a nice find. So if you're in the market for a very, very diverse whiteboarding mind mapping tool for agile, for just group brainstorming, then definitely give this one a shot, because it will likely have the tools that you're looking for. Whimsical comparatively is very late. It does not have as a fraction of these features, but that's not a negative. It's just what it is.
Simple.
It's much more simple, and it's got less fingers in that pie, if you know what I mean.
Dirty.
All right, sir.
Cool. Where can we find you on the social medias, my friend?
You can find me on the Twitter. My handle is justsomesass16. That's S-A-A-S 16. And that's where I typically post on my meanderings, mostly Microsoft stuff, but other stuff as well. Give me a follow, send me a little message, say hi, tell us what you like about the podcast, and if there's any apps you'd like to like us to review, definitely let us know.
Right on. And for myself, you can find me on Twitter as well. My handle is The Prize Awaits. Same story as Alex, mostly Microsoft fun stuff, but from time to time I will take a look at whatever else is on my mind here locally or in the tech scene. Again, please reach out in DM or let us know what you think of the show, what apps you'd like us to review. If there's any sort of head-to-head battle of two apps you'd like us to do, we're more than happy to do so. As well, because this is a podcast partially about beer, you can find me on the Untappd app, and that's a really cool app for rating and reviewing venues and beers and breweries that are either local to you or something that you pick up at your favorite beer store of choice. And you can find me on Untappd at handle there is The Prize Awaits as well. So give me a cheers or make a connection in there if you want to be a craft beer friends.
All right. Fun episode. Learned a lot. And yeah, we'll have to. I think you and I, especially with the day job, but just in general, need to explore the whiteboarding life more often, because there's a lot of potential value in here. There really is.
Wheat beer whiteboard. I'm all over this.
Yep. All whiteboarding sessions must come with beer.
Yes.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for sticking around with us, and we'll talk to you next time.